Welcome to the Uncorked Podcast, where we discuss topics, tips, and tricks that we just can't keep bottled up. Ladies, and welcome to another episode of the Uncorked Podcast presented by Wine and Cheese Incorporated. I'm Natalie, your host and the founder of Wine and Cheese, which is a nonprofit organization that creates safe spaces for women to whine about the stresses of their lives and cheese, or smile, about their blessings. In this episode, we're going to discuss how to purge people, things, and habits in order to make room for a new season. We're talking with licensed professional counselor, Charmaine Simmons.
I'd like to introduce you all to Charmaine Simmons, who will speak to us tonight on the topic of spring cleaning. And what I want to do is just share a little bit of information about Charmaine. She has over 9 years of experience in helping women and adolescent girls to overcome emotional and behavioral barriers to reach their highest potential in life through therapy and coaching. She received her Master of Arts in Marriage and Family Therapy with a specialization in Child and Adolescent Therapy, and her work has been heavily influenced by placing emphasis on the value of being authentic in a world that teaches us to hide behind the mask. So, Charmaine, we are so excited to have you with us. And without further ado, let's pop the cork on spring cleaning.
Thank you, Natalie. Thank you again for just inviting me to speak. I love what you are doing with For Every Wine and Cheese, and I've been telling everybody about it all week long, and people are really excited about what it is that you have going on. So I just want to share a little bit about what I do and why it's so important for us to be very authentic with ourselves, because it really does it starts with every relationship that we're in. As women of today, you know, we wear so many hats. We are balancing our careers. We're balancing education. Some of us are mothers, so we're parenting. We have social lives. We have family stuff that's going on. We're dating, or we're trying to balance, you know, the demands of health and fitness and trying to do it. Sometimes we find ourselves just kind of being in these cycles and to really understand what's important to us. We're so caught up in the busyness of life. So, basically being pulled in so many different directions has become like a new normal, especially with, you know, technology. It's making people feel like everything has a sense of urgency all of the time. And we never really take time for ourselves to really just unplug, sit down, not have any fires to put out, and really just focus on what it is that we need. So I also want to speak to the fact that, you know, a lot of us unknowingly or knowingly, we are just nurturers, and we take on other problems as our own. Whereas, you know, we love helping others so much that sometimes we forget or feel guilty when it comes down to helping ourselves. So I think that taking some time to really just purge and do some spring cleaning in our own lives can help us to not only help us to feel better, but to help us to feel more effective in being there for others. So I like to say self-care is not a selfish thing to do. It's a requirement, and it's so important for us to take care of ourselves so that we can keep our cups full, and the more that we can keep our cups full, we can pour into others. So I want to share with you guys 5 suggestions on how cleaning in your personal life can be done successfully. These are not like steps. These are just suggestions. So, you know, you can pick 1 or 2 to do, or you can do all 5. So the key is really just find what works for you. I would suggest that you block some time off in your calendar, grab a journal, and dedicate some time just to do some intentional self-reflection and get very clear on where you are in your life and where you want to be. So, number one, if you're not clear, it's important to get clear on what your values are. So what's important to you as far as, like, spirituality is concerned? What is important as far as friendships or relationships are concerned, or your career? How do you want to be treated? How do you treat other people? Thinking about what's important to you and keeping a list of those things is important, because a lot of times we forget or we don't know, and then we allow other things to come in and set the tone for our lives without us even having a say in it. So I'm really big on boundaries. But it's hard to set a boundary. It's impossible to set boundaries if you don't know what is important to you. And when I'm talking about boundaries, it's about people or things or habits that inflict on what makes you feel whole as a person. So I like to kind of, you know, say if they are in line with what it is that you believe in, then it's something that's helping you, then it's good to, you know, keep them. But if it's not, then it's time to kind of reconsider. So, for example, for me, social media was something that I was finding myself going to in my spare time way too much, to the point where I was on social media in between my clients. So I had to set a boundary with myself that when I'm at work, I'm only on social media for work-related posts, or I'm not, you know, I'm not on my personal page, or I'm not scrolling through unless I'm doing it for an intentional purpose. So with that, I found myself being more productive at work. And then I think that it unintentionally, like, took time away from me being on social media in my personal life. So after, you know, when I would get home, you know, because I wasn't on it, I was using my mind for other things, I found myself using social media less and less. Not to say that, you know, it's a bad thing. I just think that too much of social media, of course, we find ourselves just kind of mindlessly scrolling. So I think that by setting a boundary for me, it kind of helped me to eliminate it and just to use it in a healthy sense. And we all have these habits or these things that kind of, you know, these guilty pleasures, so to speak. So, you know, I'm not here to bash anything. I just think that everything just has to have its place. So that is what I wanted to talk about, values. The next thing that I wanted to suggest to you, that we can do to, help with spring cleaning is to learn how to express your emotions. I think that is what makes us human. And I think that we are in a world today where logic is so heavily valued that a lot of times our emotions are shunned. And I think it starts at a very young age. A lot of us may have experienced growing up in households where we weren't allowed to cry. Or we were taught to, you know, don't worry, be happy. Or, you know, if a kid, I've seen it all the time, you know, kids will cry, and then the punishment of crying is, you know, don't cry, I'll give you something to cry about. You know what I'm saying? So I think that over time, we learn to avoid our emotions because they haven't been socially acceptable. And in turn, what I'm finding, too, is that, you know, while we are highly intellectual in a logical sense, a lot of us, you know, esteem intellect, we kind of fall short in what is called emotional intelligence. And I think the reason why is because, you know, no one knows what to do when we are, you know, feeling sad. If, you know, someone cries in front of you, the first thing that, you know, you may think to do is like, oh, don't cry. But sometimes crying is what may need to happen in order for that person to grow or to heal. Even on a scientific level, there are stress hormones in those tears that are released when you cry. So that crying is not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes it's something that's needed to purge and to release. And I think that there is such shame around crying alone that we need to address so that we can feel better and to heal ourselves. So, but with that being said, I think it's also important for us to find a safe space to have those emotions as well. Not everybody can handle your tears or your frustration or your anger. So if you find that you can't express yourself appropriately with a person, maybe you need to, you know, express yourself by yourself or finding a good therapist, someone who could create a safe space for you to be able to explore and to express those emotions. Because if you don't, they don't really go anywhere. They stay inside and they manifest into other things. So the I like to say that the cousin of sadness is anger, which is another, it's actually more socially acceptable than sadness. You know, people are, they kind of associate anger with some sort of strength. And to an extent, you know, I can get it. You know, sometimes it is more acceptable to be angry and to show anger versus tears, because anger gets stuff done. And I think that being able to recognize these emotions and knowing what to do with them is extremely important. So, you know, I've said, you know, if you're angry about something, you know, don't ever say that you shouldn't be angry, because anger is a valid emotion. Finding a way to get that anger out. So if you need to scream, screaming into a pillow, or, you know, I remember I had a coworker of mine take, I used to work on this residential facility that was out in the boonies somewhere. So we did hikes and stuff like that. So on our lunch break, we went on a hike, and when we got as far away as we could, I was so stressed out that week. She told me to scream, and I was looking at her like she was crazy. And she said, just scream as loud as you can. And I said, okay. So I let it out, and I screamed a scream that I have never screamed before, but it was something in that scream that needed to be released. I was just holding it in and holding it together and trying to act as if I was okay when I really wasn't. And I think at that moment I learned the value of just releasing emotions, regardless as to whether or not that makes you look quote-unquote crazy, because honestly, if you don't get it out, that is when, you know, it's going to find its way out anyway. So it's just finding an appropriate avenue to get those emotions out. Okay, so my third suggestion is to schedule a fast. I think that fasting is a great way of purging and cleaning out your personal space. From a spiritual perspective, it is the process of taking something out of your life and replacing it with getting closer to God or asking God for direction or guidance in your life. So, you know, a lot of people, when they think of fast, they think of, oh, you know, I just can't eat, or, you know, I can't listen to secular music. And it's not necessarily about what you are taking away. It is what you are replacing it with to kind of get power over that thing. So, for example, you know, some people may eliminate all animal products and just go into, you know, fasting, which is eating fruits and vegetables. So not only are you cleansing from a spiritual and emotional perspective, but you're cleansing from a physical perspective. So just being able to clear your space is so important with your diet. Think about everything that we eat. We're having all of this sugar. we're having all of this fat and the different types of meat that we eat. Some meat stays in your body longer than it needs to. Everything has an effect on your emotional state. There are certain foods that you can eat that boost your mood. So being able to do a fast, I think, is great on so many different levels, whether it's a spiritual fast or just a physical one. It's a really great way to just kind of clear your space and clear your head, clear your body, and just get grounded. So my fourth one, I wanted to also mention that it's important to budget your time to unplug. We always like to say time is more valuable than money. It's something that you can never get back. So I think it's really cool to schedule your time for yourself. So just as you would schedule time to, have dinner with a girlfriend, or you would schedule time for a meeting, you need to schedule time for yourself. The most important relationship that you have is the relationship that you have with yourself. So just as you would, put something on a calendar, take some time to schedule your spa appointment or schedule time to go to the gym. Schedule time on like a Friday night if you find yourself kind of overcommitting. A really great tip is to schedule time for yourself even if you don't have anything planned. So maybe this Friday or next Friday, your schedule's booked, but maybe that next Friday when you're not booked, just book it for yourself so that when someone asks you, hey, why don't you come do XYZ with me, you could say, hey, you know what, I have to think about it. I might have something already planned, or I already have something planned. You don't necessarily have to tell them what, but your time is valuable, and I think that it's important to make time for yourself just as you would make for other people. And then that's even for, some of those habits that we have. So let's say if you do find yourself being on social media for too long at a time, schedule it. So say, on Saturday morning at 10:30 to 11:30, I'm going to be on social media, and then give yourself time to just be there so that you won't feel like, you're overdoing it. And you're just kind of like, again, setting those boundaries and being able to do what it is that you want to do, but without it overtaking you, if that makes sense. So my fifth one is just accountability, and I think you guys are already doing that with this network. Being able to have people to hold you accountable for self-care. As a therapist, a lot of my friends are therapists because, we all went to grad school together. And then I also am very close friends with someone who, she's also my business partner with Black Sage Girls. She's a yoga instructor. So a lot of times when, we get overwhelmed with life, one of the first questions that we ask, okay, so what are you doing to take care of yourself? You need to stop. You need to, take some time to meditate. You need to go take a walk. You need to go journal. You need to do something, just somebody to kind of help us to stay grounded. Because again, not everybody does this, and not everybody understands the value and the importance of being intuitive and being very self-aware with your emotions. So I think it's so important to have people, somebody in your circle who's going to help you to prioritize yourself. When you start putting boundaries in place with people, not everybody is going to like it, because you're going to be saying no, where you may have been saying yes, and you have to be prepared to deal with that, the backlash. So I think having somebody who understands and who is possibly going through that journey themselves is going to be so important. So, they say your vibe is your tribe. Your vibe attracts your tribe. So if you have people who are like-minded, I think that definitely helps with where it is that you're trying to go. And I also want to just say, you know, having a trained counselor to help you sort your emotions is so necessary at times, because sometimes when we have conversations with our girlfriends, they make it about themselves unintentionally, you know, or somebody's asking you for stuff, you may make it about yourself. And I think it kind of robs us from being able to really look at ourselves for who we are. So in therapy, that's what it's designed to do. Your therapist should be spending that hour talking about you and what it is that you need to do. And I don't think that there's anywhere in the world that you can just really just speak about yourself for an hour. And I know it sounds very self-absorbed as I say it out loud, but no, I think it's kind of like, I always say to my clients that, you know, we focus so much on our outward appearance. You know, we want to look good. We want to smell good. We want to say the right things. But I think in therapy, we're focusing on the inward. So the inward as far as like what's on the innermost parts of our being. So we're saying things that we in therapy that we would never say out there. And I'm encouraging it because I really want you to be authentic with yourself. And seeking therapy is like buying a pair of shoes. You know, every therapist isn't for everybody. So if you are interested in seeking therapy, I would suggest you find a therapist that offers some type of 15-minute phone-free consultation just so that you can ask questions, get to know them a little bit so that you can feel comfortable, because it is an investment. And it's not one that should be taken lightly. So just as you would try on different shoes when you're finding, you know, that perfect pair of shoes, or if you're buying a house or buying a car, you don't buy the first one that you try on. You look around and you weigh your pros and cons and you find the one that works for you. So, yeah,
that's
Charmaine,
pretty much all I have.
Yeah, these were great. I'm actually really excited to hear that two of your tips, both the expressing your emotions and having a circle that is going to hold you accountable for self-care, both speak to what we do within the Wine and Cheese Network. So I'm glad that what we're already practicing is a part of personal spring cleaning. I want to thank you so much for these tips, and I want to, we probably have time for about two questions, and so I'm going to take the first two that I saw come in, one via email and the other via Twitter. And the first question, okay, this is a good one. So it's, what's the best way to assess what or who should stay or go before you begin a personal spring cleaning? And that's kind of interesting. I was rewatching one of the Sex and the City movies, and as Carrie was cleaning out her closet, they were trying on different outfits and deciding which would stay and which outfits were going to be purged and donated. And so is there a way to actually assess who or what should stay in your life before you start to do your purge?
That's a really great question. I think that it all goes down to that emotional awareness. So think about this person, you know, does this person make you feel good, or does this person make you feel drained? Do you feel like, you know, you're constantly pouring out, or do you feel like there's a sense of a balance? I think that a lot of times we know there's something in the pit of our stomach that just kind of tenses up when we're around certain people, or we just feel drained after we have that conversation with those people. I think that, you know, being emotionally aware is kind of like our natural GPS. So being very aware of what it is that you feel, I think that is the first thing that you need to take into consideration.
Good point. And then the other question says, some of us underestimate the impact of our environment on our thoughts and our mood. And this person must know that you run Black Sage Girls. So she's asking, can you share your experience with and the benefits of burning sage?
Oh, yeah. So Black Sage Girls is a platform that it's in its infancy stages, but my friend and I, the one who is a yoga instructor, her name is Benita, we are combining our brands. So we are combining mental health and yoga as a way of empowering women of color to focus on self-care. And it, with that, it includes cleansing. So sage burning is a ancient way of cleansing your personal space. You can purchase sage from Whole Foods or some type of natural local store. And a lot of times it's already bundled up, and you take it, you burn the tips, and as you burn the tips, a lot of times you can set your intentions as far as what it is that you want your space to be. So if you have like a negative emotion that you're trying to release, or if you're having, a breakup or some type of toxic situation that you're trying to let go of, the sage is symbolizing a cleansing of that. So you go through, you set your intentions, open up a window, say, what you need to say, and then you are releasing that symbolically.
Awesome. I want to go buy some sage. I've never done it, but I've always been interested. I am certainly ready to do some spring cleaning. I've kind of put off some conversations that I need to have with people who probably need to transition from my life. So I appreciate what you've shared today. Before we end, let us know how we can keep in touch.
Yes, you can keep in touch with me by following me on Instagram at CharmaineLPC, or you can follow us at Black Sage Girls, and that is our main form of social media as of now.
Okay, great. Great. Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining Wine and Cheese's Uncorked Speaker Series. Our next conversation will be on motherhood and mental health. And with that, good night and God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Want to know what's on tap? Visit foreverywine.org for more information. That's foreverywhine.org. You can also search for us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram using the handle @foreverywine. Until next time, remember, for every wine, there is a cheese.